It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
It's two for the price of one. The Pioneer Press, Dame Mizutani, and Minnesota's Mr. Hockey writer, Michael Russo, join us in the jam-packed hockey, coffee, and pop culture-filled ep. Plus, who is our Buttes MVP that's not named Kirill Kaprizov? Naturally, all of that and more, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Better Edge and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland of ChamplinInsurance.com. This is episode 69. Nice. Gear up with the hottest merch in the state, courtesy of SodaStick.com. Snag a throwback Tony Oliva hitting school tee to celebrate baseball season, or keep the hockey vibes year-round with a plethora of on-ice merch. Be sure you're staying tuned to our social channels for a chance at a $50 SodaStick gift card giveaway. Bar Down Beauties at checkout will always get you that free shipping. Happy shopping. Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 69. 69. Gosh. Everyone's giggling about it. I have never found that very funny. Dane,
it's like a joke or something.
I don't know.
It's like a bit that I just participate in, but I think it's kind of dumb. So I don't know.
Completely agreed. Like, I totally do it to try to be, like, funny because people think it's funny. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I don't care, really.
Like staying young, but, like.
It's usually, like, the really ugly guys that are bringing it up. It's like, ha, nice, right? Like, because nice. We get some. No, nice. You don't. No, you don't.
You don't, 69. That other voice that you hear is Mr. Dave Mizutani of the Pioneer Press. He is filling in for Alexis, who we fired. Just kidding. We didn't fire her. She's
not yet. That's
up in Duluth. Maybe somewhere, I don't know, gallivanting around. So she gets the day off, so I get to bring in our buddy Dane, because we love Dane. What's up, Dane?
Doing great. Anytime I can be on the Bar Down Beauties is a good day.
You know what? That's how we feel about you. We really, really do. You're it's by good. Far one of our favorite guests. Joining us later, Michael Russo, also a favorite guest. He helped us break down some hockey. He wanted us to ask you, however, as a young Hawaiian boy, did you truly dream of becoming a hockey writer in Minnesota?
No, not at all. Like, I remember when I got offered the job from the Pioneer Press, they were like, hey, we need a new hockey writer. And I used to intern at the Pioneer Press. They're like, what do you know about hockey? And in my head, I'm like, not a lot.
But I watched Nick's Bukes as dog one time.
A ton. I know a ton, and I love hockey. So that's what we pretended when they asked me. So
that's good advice to all those college kids out there. Just lie and you'll figure it out. You'll find your way in sports writing, apparently, right? You could just pretend.
Fake it till you make it, truly.
I mean, that always works. You're kind of a jack of all trades. And again, Mike Russo had brought this up. He's like, Dane does it all. He was very complimentary of a young Dane. I know. Although he wanted to bring up your golf podcast, which I naturally want to bring up too. Tell us a little bit about the new venture of a golf podcast, yet another sport that you're adding to your coverage network.
Yeah, it's me and Jace Frederick have always just kind of kicked around the idea of starting a podcast. Jace Frederick, my colleague at the Pioneer Press, also my good friend. I don't know why I said colleague before friend. But we tried one like 3 years ago and it sucked. And it's because we tried to do like a bunch of different sports. We had like no direction. We did like three or four episodes and we were like, this is not fun. Like, and no one listened. And every episode was like 90 minutes long. And we were like, no one's going to listen to us. And they didn't, and we quit. And I think like almost 3 months ago, he was like, do you want to try this again? And we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And he didn't want to make a basketball podcast because he does that every day with Timberwolves. I didn't really want to make a hockey podcast because same reason. Mm-hmm. So we were like, well, we both golf and we're not good at it, but we like to talk about it. So yeah, we started Bunker to Bunker like 2 months ago now, or maybe a month ago. I don't know. And been rolling, trying to build a following and see where it goes.
I mean, I will say my favorite part of Bunker to Bunker is the bets that you have between yourself and Jace. And You constantly lose, which results in you dumping a beer over your head. And that's got to be my favorite thing, because there's nothing more disrespectful than you yourself dumping a beer on your head because you lost. Dane, how do you get better?
It's horrible. And the only way that like I can stop doing this is if my boy Colin Morikawa starts finishing ahead of Patrick Reed, and he just hasn't done it. I thought when we started this bet, I was like, Morikawa is just better than Reed, and he is. I still believe that, and I still believe in him.
You're still holding on to that hope.
But I'm 0-3, and I'm pouring beers on my head like literally every week now. It's getting old. I do it in my backyard.
For the viewers, it's not. I mean, even if I'm your one audience that you're catering to, that's I want more of that.
I would think the neighbor is like, what the hell is this kid doing? Like, he just like once every Monday or Tuesday, he just goes and looks real sad and pours a beer on top of his head. So I'm glad some people like it. I don't enjoy it.
How do you select the beer that gets poured?
Whatever's in the beer fridge. Jace is like, you have to stop pouring out craft beer from like local breweries. He's like, you're ruining our chances of potentially no getting sponsored when you're like, I don't like this beer, so I'm pouring it on my head. He's like, just go get some McGolden or something. Like, it'll just live in your fridge and you should do that. But I always forget. So it's like whatever's in the beer fridge, first one, I just pick. Pour it on my head.
It's beautiful. Betting is one of my favorite things. As you guys all know, one of our sponsors, Better Edge, is a new platform allowing us to bet. You can bet with your friends. It's a new social experience as well. Be sure to go and sign up and join betteredge.com. That's BETTOR edge.com. Toss in the code Buttes and you'll get a free $10 to play with. Dane, you want a free $10 to go play, go bet? You don't have to dump beer on your head with Better Edge. That's
yeah,
a nice thing.
I should probably
them.
Really good ad read by you, just like you're a pro now. Thank but I should probably get into that, because it really wouldn't I don't know how many more beers I can keep pouring on my head, just it's brutal.
So are you a golfer in general? Like, do you usually get out? And I mean, I'm a terrible golfer. Fred could attest to this as well.
Mm-hmm. But she skips holes. She doesn't even try.
No, I'm there for the
all
beer
about
and the
drinking
cards.
On the court.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my golf status, right? But I mean, do you fancy yourself like okay, like decent?
No, I suck. But I did really get into it last year during the pandemic. It's just like it was like the only thing we could do with friends that felt like safe and fun. So I like became a huge like golf nut last summer. Went a ton. And before last year, I wasn't even that big of a golf fan in general. But I think like the way it all worked out was like sports paused, and then like the first sport to come back was golf. So I would just watch it all the time. And then couple that with going out and playing. It just, yeah. So I think we're going this weekend or trying to wild play twice. So that's a thing. But if we can figure out some time, I think we'll go, because yeah, big golfer now.
Big golfer, huge golfer, which, you know, hockey and golf seem to go hand in hand a little bit. I know it sucks because we can't talk to the players on the side, but I mean, are there any wild guys that you're looking at maybe chatting up about golf or see if they want to go swing the clubs with you?
We'll see. I mean, Foligno, I know he's a riot. I know you guys have had him on. So, yeah. I mean, I know he'd be fun to talk to. I certainly know he'd be fun to golf with. So yeah, he's probably top of the list.
That makes sense. Moose, if you're listening, because I know you are, you're a true one, go golf with Dane. We'll go with you too, just to hang out. Again, I'm there for the drinking if we do it post-child coming out. So that would be lovely. Let's talk a little bit about the Wild again. I know we have Mike Russo to dive into some depths, but you and I have talked about it a couple episodes when you were our guest. But I mean, how are things looking? I know inconsistency seems to be a very proper adjective for the Minnesota Wild where they are right now.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you look at them, like, and you look at what Bill Guerin did at the trade deadline, or I guess like didn't do at the trade deadline. Yeah. It's because they're inconsistent, but I think they kind of are what they are at this point. Like, they're a good team. I think a lot better than some people thought they were going to be, certainly better than I thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. But they're not quite there yet. And I think when you see them get blown out in back-to-back games against Colorado Avalanche last month, or see them destroy the Colorado Avalanche a couple weeks ago and then immediately lose 9-1 to the Blues. Like, that inconsistency is kind of jarring, alarming, but I think it's proof that like they're not quite there yet. They're not a Stanley Cup contender yet. And I think that's okay, right? Like, I don't think anyone entered this season thinking they would be.
Right.
but I think Bill Guerin has a good read on this team. Definitely let them try, let them go into the playoffs. Maybe they beat Vegas. I think they match up well with Vegas, but don't mortgage the future for, you know, what looks to be a team that you know what they are. So it's not, there's no sense in like selling the farm and for a couple of rental players or using those first round picks to get a guy in for 2-3 months when you're probably not winning at all this year.
Right. And Bill Guerin said very blatantly at the deadline to us this week that the first round picks were off the table. That wasn't going to be an option. And it sounded like he was such a straight shooter with other GMs, like, hey, look, if we're in a good spot for the playoffs, I'm not moving anything. And if we're not, then we'll talk. And I mean, is that kind of one of your favorite things about Billy? And I love calling him Billy because I think that just fits him, right? Because he just seems, he, you know, I know it's easy to put on that face and for us media members to kind of say like, oh, sure, I trust him, but I really do believe everything he's saying. Either that or he's a phenomenal salesman, but like, I have just a good faith about him in telling us what exactly has been going on.
Yeah, he's definitely straight to the point. I think, like you said, like that was what came across to me when he was talking about the deadline. And you're asking him, like, did you think about selling any players? Did anyone, you know, you weren't a buyer. Did you think about becoming a seller? And he said, like, no, because teams didn't reach out because they know what I'm about. They know I wasn't selling and we're in a good spot. Definitely. Like, he's like, that's, it's refreshing to hear that. And I, like, look, he probably doesn't tell us everything. He certainly doesn't. But it feels like you're having like an actual conversation with them or with Billy. And like you said, we can call him Billy. And I, like, sometimes you would think like, you know, maybe this guy who is the GM who's like in this position of power wouldn't want you calling him
William or something instead.
Yeah. It would be like, call me Bill. Like, nah, he doesn't care. Like he's, I don't know. You just like,
he's a hockey guy.
Yeah. Breath of fresh air. Like definitely a guy that's like fun to be around. You can tell, like, he'd be probably fun to golf with and drink with on the golf course. Yes. Cause like, look at, yeah, that guy, I'm sure he's a riot.
I think he knows how to put a few down, a little couple McGolden lights. I imagine he knows how to have a good time as much as he's professional as well. One other wild aspect I wanted to talk to you specifically about would be Kaapo Kähkönen and Cam Talbot. People seem very, almost, it's funny, frustrated that Cam is getting all these starts, but really there's been no reason for Cam to not be riding the crease, right? He's had the hot hand. He's looked well. I know we asked Dean Ebsen very blatantly about it today ahead of the San Jose game because Cam Talbot gets the start again in game one. And according to them, they're just playing by their regular strategy. Do you believe that? Or do you think it's maybe they have lost a little faith in Kaapo and just kind of are putting Cam there first as the veteran goaltender as well?
I think it probably has to do with that a little bit. Like, I don't think Dean is being completely truthful when he's like, we haven't changed our approach at all, because you look earlier this season, and I know Cam was hurt and then Cam was dealing with COVID, but it was like almost a 50-50 split. It was like, you actually don't know who's going to be the goaltender every night because like they didn't have a quote unquote starting goaltender. And right now it's like Kaapo's playing like once every like 8 days, once every like 10 days. So like this, the approach has definitely changed. And I think a lot of that probably hinges on Kaapo, and he's just like, not looking as sharp as he was earlier in the year. But I think that's okay, because when you look back on this season, like at the end of the day, you're going to remember Kaapo winning those 9 straight games in his starts and like really filling in admirably for Cam Talbot when the Wild didn't have a goaltender because Cam was dealing with the injuries and with COVID. Like if Kaapo doesn't light the world on fire for like that month long stretch, who knows where the Wild are at right now. So just because he's fallen off a little bit, or probably a lot compared to that, I don't think that's necessarily like a reason to think like he can't be your guy moving forward. He's a rookie goaltender. And like, that's exactly what he was. He was probably, he was supposed to be in Iowa this year if, you know, Stalock wasn't dealing with his things at the beginning of the season. So I think there, the Wild's approach definitely has something to do with Kaapo regressing a little bit, but even more so, it's like, how can you take Cam out of the crease right now? He's so good. So a little bit of both. I kind of feel for Kaapo because I think he was so good earlier this season because he was in a like a rhythm and a groove and like playing once every couple nights, once every 3 or 4 nights. And now it's like, okay, you lost 9-1 to the Blues. You're probably not playing for 9 more days. So I feel bad for him there, but it's just hard to take Cam Talbot out of the crease right now.
Right, exactly. I mean, I do. I think, like you said, Dean's probably not being completely honest with us, and there probably is a little bit of unsureness heading in with what you might get from Capo, because he's a rookie goaltender. I feel like I've stressed right. that to so many people. Like, he's still a rookie. Yes, it was phenomenal what he was doing and stepping up when he needed to, and that was an excellent time for him to be outperforming himself. That begs the question then, looking at the expansion draft, and shout out to Bruce Siski for asking me this question on radio earlier this week, but I want to know what your thoughts. He had asked me, who are you protecting for your goaltenders then? Are you protecting Cam Talbot or are you protecting Capo? Capo obviously has the appeal that he is cheaper for a team that's looking for a goaltender, and you can see what he's about. What would you think the Minnesota Wild do? Do they protect Cam, who is a good starting goaltender, or do you protect Capo because he's a future possible starting goaltender?
I think you got to protect Capo, right? Like, I don't know.
I think I said Cam, but I don't know. Cause I didn't know if they'd go for a rookie goaltender, right? Like, yeah. I don't know if Seattle's going to do that.
I think you just, I mean, yeah, that's tough because you would almost hope that like someone else just has to expose someone better than Cam Talbot, but I would almost leave him exposed because like I said, I don't think Capo's at the top of his game right now, certainly not on his A game, but he's proven like you want to almost be like, is he our goalie of the future? Is he not? Like, if you're the Wild thinking that out loud, like, I think he's proven that like he probably can be. And Cam's not old, but like Cam isn't the goaltender that is going to be the goaltender in 5 years. Like, there's a reason they signed him for 3 years, and he's been great this year. But I think you would want to almost protect, you know, your more valuable asset or your more, you know, long-term asset in that sense. But it'll be interesting. It's like, I haven't even thought about that being some like the goaltender being someone that Seattle might take, because it seems like the general consensus is like, okay, Dumba's gone. Like, right. Like, but yeah, that's an interesting point to bring up, because like, there are a lot of good options on the Wild right now, and you're going to lose a good player.
I mean, that's what sucks. I think everyone needs to remember that, not to bring y'all down, but we're going to lose a good player because that's how the expansion works. Sorry, Alex Tuch and whomever else, right? You know, another thing I want to pick your brain about, I don't know how much you've been following it, but the Vancouver Canucks and their situation that they're dealing with, a new strain of COVID in Vancouver that has completely riddled their team. A lot of the players, very, very sick, not very symptomatic. And the NHL had plans to return to play today against Edmonton. But JT Miller, and I don't know if this was in response, the NHL would say no. I'm guessing it's in response to JT Miller being very to the point, saying, I'm not ready to play hockey right now. I mean, again, and he wasn't even sick. He said, our team is just not ready and they're rushing it. How do you think the NHL should handle that situation? Again, because you take one team out and it's kind of all of Canada, it's the, you know, Canadians are in general are dealing with a completely different situation than we are here in the U.S. But also you have the division and everyone wanting to finish out. I mean, what do you do with the NHL?
I think you got to wait until like the team's ready. And I don't know, that's hard because you're going to run out of time to replay these games at some point. Like, I don't see how Vancouver can fill a whole 56 game schedule at this point with how much time they've lost. But you got to look out for your players if you're the league. And I certainly know like the Players Association is going to step up for their players. But if JT Miller's coming out and saying like, one, I'm not ready, but like, especially like our team isn't ready. Like, a lot of these guys are still very, very symptomatic. And like, it sounds like extremely serious. And like, I don't know, like, how can you, there was a point during the Wild shutdown back in February where I was like, how are they going to finish the season? Because it just felt like guys were getting COVID every day. And then, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't sound like many guys had like terrible symptoms, which is great for them. But you hear some of the stories that are coming out of Vancouver and you're like, this is serious. And like, I think they're like, that should take precedence over finishing games. I don't like your long-term health of your players. So like, I think the league really has to kind of be careful with how they handle this moving forward.
Right.
But it's, yeah, it's bad. And
especially since Vancouver's out of it basically, right? It's not like they were a team that seemed to be making a push, to my knowledge. I hadn't checked, and I haven't paid attention to anybody outside of the Honda West, unfortunately, this year, because I haven't had to. But I feel like Vancouver, it's not like a team that was really up there making the final runs or anything. I think they were struggling, so it's almost kind of like, why not just let them go away and be done with it maybe, and let the other teams play out.
Yeah, it's like you said, like, I don't think they had a lot of bearing on, I guess their games might have bearing on the rest of like the Canadian division, like games against Vancouver might like influence how this final standings shake out. But yeah, I don't know. I think the end all be all should just be like the safety and long-term health of your players. And I know like there is like a mentality, I think, especially in hockey, to be like, I'm fine, we're going to battle through this. Like the sick, it's not that bad, but like, it's okay to be like, yeah, this is a really serious thing. Like this has completely changed the world like for the past year and probably will change our lives moving forward. So like, let's take it really seriously. And like, let's not rush back from this, because I don't think there's a huge point in rushing back from this when we don't know yet, like the long-term effects of what's going to happen. And like you're saying, like new variant strains, like we don't know a lot about what these are, and we don't know the long-term effects of these variant strains. So they got to be cautious and careful. And I appreciated JT Miller like saying that and not being like, yeah, we're ready to go. Like the boys are, you know, getting back to the, you know, like be honest. That's yeah. fine. Like if you're not ready, you're not ready.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, you look at Marco Rossi, right? Again, these are elite athletes. And if it right. is taking so much out of them, it is. It's scary to think about what it does to us around the world. And it's just a tough time. So, yeah, I mean, tough situation. Again, you understand the NHL's business perspective, but yeah, you have to find the human compassion within you in order to make a decision like that. So before we let you go, Dane, let people know where they can find you. And then we are going to take a quick break and come back with the newly vaccinated Michael Russo. Dane, where can we find your stuff?
Well, for the Pioneer Press, twincities.com and at Dane Mizutani on Twitter, but give Bunker to Bunker a follow on Twitter
too. And it's Bunker with the number 2, right?
@Bunker2Bunker_. So
do yeah. it. If only to watch Dane pour a beer over his head every week. I mean, again, that's pretty yeah. much my
it's content right there, right? So
it's beautiful. I'm so proud of you. Dane, you are the absolute best. Be sure again to check out all of his articles in the Pioneer Press, especially if you're a Northeast Metroer like myself, because there's some Matamita coverage, some White Bear Lake. Anybody who lives in the St. Paul area, you'll enjoy all of his stuff. And he has good wild content. You do good, yeah. Dane.
Thanks.
It's because you sit next to me in the press box.
Exactly.
But, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We want you to help us design the next line of Bardon Beauty's Teespring merchandise. What pod-related bit should we toss on some gear? Stay tuned to our social channels, and in the meantime, continue to shop current lines at Teespring under Bardon Beauty's.
We're back. Joining us now, the man who is everywhere, knows everyone, and is constantly fueled by too much hockey, recently vaccinated athletic writer and fellow Talk North podcaster, Mr. Michael Russo. Russo, how you doing?
Yeah, good. So far, I got no ill effects from my second vaccine. So nothing's grown. Like I've got no extra, you know, heads like or that popped out or microchip numbers or all the other conspiracy theories that I've heard about the vaccine. So far, all good. We'll see how I feel later tonight when I cover the game.
It's a back to back too, right? So you got to be ready to go. Otherwise,
it's tomorrow that you said that I might feel it, right? Didn't you say it's day two?
It's day two. It's supposed to be. So I'm there to cover for you.
Tomorrow morning, I also have to skip availability. Today I did it. I was actually in the vaccination center and I'm like, were you on today's?
Parisi was waiting for you. We were all waiting.
So I'm in the vaccine center and I'm like, Zach, hopefully you can hear me. I'm getting my vaccine. And like people are like looking around like, why is this guy on the phone right now?
It's a very serious matter that he's taking
care of. And then tomorrow at 11 something, I got to get my real ID.
Oh,
no.
Nice.
That's another one. I'm going to be like, you know, getting like the picture for my new driver's license while like, hey, Dean.
You're just taking it on, but you're getting the job done too.
Well, that's the feel. That's the only thing I like about this whole Zoom world now is that you could actually do like 50 things at once. You don't have to drive down to XL Energy Center to work the locker room, right? You
could be totally. Anywhere. Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, I was home with the kids today, which isn't ideal. I would rather drive down to the X and get away from them, but I mean, it certainly allows for that. Yeah, I mean, how have you handled? I know you and I have discussed offline, but you know, just tell us, how has the Zoom world treated you? We've gone through the whole season almost here now doing the Zooms. We've been through almost a year of this. Do you see the NHL coming back to regular availability once they're able to, or do you think that this might be a precedent that they want to put forth for
moving forward? No, I think that we'll get back in the locker room. I mean, the players don't like the Zooms. I mean, trust me. You know, I've talked to PR people around that cannot wait till they're, especially post-practice, post-game Zooms, that they disappear because the players, they've got to really almost force them to get in there. Where I could see it continuing, which I actually have no problem with, is like on a day like the trade deadline or free agency where they don't, you know, send out a press release and say you got 20 minutes to get to the arena for your in-person presser. Yeah. You know, to me, doing that virtually is no issue. I don't know if the TV stations would agree because they obviously want to get, you know, video face-to-face with people. Mm-hmm. But I hope that continues. In terms of the Zoom world, you know, I I've hit that Zoom fatigue. Yeah. It's just not fun. We're all writing the same stories. You know, even the other day, you know, it's an unfortunate thing that, you know, when we had Ian Cole and Jared Spurgeon to talk about the just horrible events that have happened in Brooklyn Center, it's hard to write that story, you know, in that type of setting. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one where you want to be in the locker room and have actual personal conversations face to face with multiple people and not just be in this sort of, you know, organic, that might be the wrong word, but, you know, situation where you can't.
You don't get the vibe, the real, true, genuine.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that after games as well, Jesse. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the same exact thing. You can't ask follow-ups. Or you can ask follow-ups, but it's all the same type of thing. The other thing is when you're in the locker room and you're shooting the breeze with a Parisi or a, I almost just said Bugard because I just got off the phone with his mom, but I was envisioning myself all these like years sitting next to him in that side corner wall that he used to be in. You know, when you have these conversations with people, you're, it's a back and forth. It's a personal thing. It's not just, they also know it's just like you and me. Mm-hmm. It's not on a video for the entire world to see. So you get different answers and it's a much more personal experience. And for, you know, the jobs that you and I do, it's just so much easier to tell those type of colorful stories than just, you know, every day asking off a post game Zoom. You know, you can't ask also follow-ups that you would normally ask.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we talk to players is, you know, when you have a relationship with them and it's just you and him talking in the locker room, is very different. It's sort of like how that player also doesn't want to say something that he knows is going to be broadcast to the world and be misconstrued. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the writer. You know, when I'm asking a follow-up, I might ask it very differently if it's just him and I in a locker room or even in a scrum setting that's not live for the world to see. So, I've hit the fatigue stage of this. I'm over it. Double vaccinated. Let's get back in the locker room.
Russo's ready to go. He's good to go. I heard
I'm staying at the team hotel in Arizona in a couple of days, and I sent somebody with the team a text today. I'm like, I don't care what the rules are. We're going in the back of that place in the courtyard, and we're smoking a cigar, and that's the world. You know, we can be socially distanced, but I'm vaccinated. You're vaccinated, and he's like, yeah, we're definitely doing that.
So. I love it. And the Wild. I heard that the Wild are all vaccinated too. Have you heard confirmation of that?
I think that started. I don't want to use an excuse, but I think it would happen right before that 9-1 loss too.
It would be good for them to toss that excuse out then,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, that would have been the funny thing to say after that game. It's like, you know what? We were all had low grade fevers.
Yeah.
You know, lost our taste of sense and smell for a couple seconds. Now we're back and we're going to have a better response.
I mean, because they stunk. So naturally, you could say they lost their sense of smell.
Exactly.
You know, we've kind of reached that midway point, and I know Alexis and I have obviously covered a lot, but what are you seeing from the Minnesota Wild team at this, you know, halfway juncture that might be different and that looks promising, as it seems that they probably solidified that third place spot? I mean, it's really theirs to lose at this point.
Yeah, they could really solidify it if they take care of business against San Jose and then next week in Arizona and LA. And San Jose there too. Their next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games are against non-playoff teams currently, at least as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a ton of games against St. Louis, but they could really kind of make some hay here in the next couple of weeks. You know, what do I see? I see a team that's playing pretty erratically. You know, I don't take much from that game against Arizona. I don't know how Arizona ever wins a game. They're so bad. They're not a good team. And so I don't, but maybe it's because the Wild always beat the crap out of them. Right. I mean, the Wild are 21-5-3 mm-hmm. in the last 29 against them. I mean, it's insane. And so, you know, look, they have two huge wins against Vegas. They come home, they play pretty poorly against Colorado the first game, lose by a goal. Then they beat them up 8-3. But even in that game, if you remember, Grubauer wasn't very good. They only had 19 mm-hmm. shots on goal.
Yeah.
Then they go to St. Louis. They get smoked 9-1. Then they respond well the next game, but they have a really awful finish where, you know, a couple fluke goals, and next thing you know, it leaves this bad taste in your mouth. But then they respond pretty well last game against the Arizona Coyotes. So we'll see. I mean, San Jose's played them tough this year, so we'll see how these next two games go. But that's what I want to see is I want to see, will they get back to playing consistent hockey and not, you know, sort of all over the map the way that they've been the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think a part of it is they got to get better goaltending from Kakinen. I really think that first game against that they lost 9-1, I know this might sound crazy to people, but if the Wild got goaltending that night, I bet you they beat St. Louis. They don't lose 9-1. I mean, Wild, the first 10 minutes of that game looked like they were going to beat the crap out of St. Louis, but they couldn't get a save. Now, they were giving up odd man rushes, but that fourth goal, it looked like the third goal rattled Kakinen, and then the fourth goal, you knew that he was rattled, because when do you ever see him indecisive on a playmate, on a puck handling situation? Right. And then he doesn't go to play the puck, and because of that, Suter and Spurgeon, who fanned out usually ready to take his outlet pass, they're now out of position because he screwed up. And next thing you know, that goal changed the entire game.
Right.
So I want to see that. You know, you'd love to see Kaprizov and Zuccarello and Rask get back to playing the way that they were earlier this season. Even strength, they haven't done too much lately. Obviously, Zuccarello gets a couple power play goals last game. I thought Greenway, I mean, no goals in his last, I think it's something like 19 games or something. Not playing great lately. I thought Fiala was playing well last game. I thought it was one of the worst games I've ever seen him play against Arizona. But then you got that fourth line going really well. You got Ek and Foligno looking like they can make some noise here right now. So, you know, I like this team when they're healthy. But now it's just getting back to the way they were for that month where they were just winning off game after game after game.
Right. Well, and like you said, I mean, it speaks to a lack of consistency, and it does seem like the players go really hot for a game or two and then back away. And I mean, what do you think? I mean, is there anything that you can point to, not that you're looking for excuses, but is it the schedule and kind of the way things are just so drastically different than maybe what they're used to?
Yeah, I think it's the schedule. I think it's the fact they never practice. I mean, you know, and that's not something that's unique to the Wild. I mean, this is a year where just it's every off day, you gotta allow these guys to rest. It's not just resting your bodies to, you know, to recover from playing every other minute, but it's really resting your mind. I mean, you know, John Tortorella talks about it a lot. I know the average fan is going to look at this and roll their eyes and think, oh, poor them. You know, they got to go down to the rink and put on their uniform. But John Tortorella talks about it all the time, about just the act of going to the rink and you know, just even though they're only there a couple hours, putting on the uniform, going on the ice, watching videos. Sometimes it just becomes Groundhog Day and over again. So a lot of times what Dean is trying to do is not only allow these guys to rest, like they could have, you know, I was kind of shocked they canceled practice yesterday because you have back-to-back games coming up, and it was an afternoon game three nights ago. So I'll go to the old Terry Murray line. You want to probably let them – they're all going to go out. You might want to let them sweat out the booze, you know, yesterday in practice or whatever because they have so much time to just hang out. But you know, I think that's the biggest thing that they're trying to do is try to get these guys in a position where their minds can get off hockey. And the other thing is a lot of these guys have families and they're on the road so much that you also want to be, you know, allow them time with their kids and their families. So, you know, I don't know if you follow, Daniel Spurgeon on Instagram, but one of the sweetest series of pictures I've ever seen have happened this week of just pictures of Jared hanging out with his kids, you know, and that's stuff that they don't get to do a lot with this really road heavy schedule that the Wild have been on. So,
you know, and it seems like the players are liking that too. I know Ryan Suter came out and said, I really, you know, he said it jokingly at first, but then he meant it. I mean, again, is that another trend that you maybe see sticking for? And I know Dean Evason said, I don't get morning skates. I don't understand, you know, some of that stuff. I mean, is that something that might change as we look at next season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I will say this, the Wild, you know, this, and most teams are like this, the second half of most seasons is usually you know, rest and recovery and not a lot of practices. But this year it's been, I mean, they've probably practiced 6-7 times max, right? It just feels that way. I love it.
less for you to worry about.
Exactly. And so, but I do think it's one of those trends that absolutely could continue here. And, you know, and you'll see, I mean, Bruce had a rule where when he was the coach that they would have full practices if they took the day off the night before and optionals if they did practice the day before. But where Dean, for the most part, even if they had the day off the night before, he leaves it up to the players on whether or not they go on the ice. You know, they still got to go down there, but for meetings and things like that, but they don't necessarily have to go on. So there's been a lot of optional skates and things like that.
Right. How have you seen Dean really transform this team? And is it surprising to you at all? I know for me, I was kind of in the boat when they removed the interim tag of, interesting. Not sure how that'll work. I mean, how have you seen Dean really take a hold and seem to redirect the ship a little bit after kind of a grim last year or two?
Well, he certainly seems to push the right buttons a lot of times, makes the right decision. I mean, I know a lot of times fans, like, a great example, it's like, the way that I'll tweet out lines, if I put Eriksson, Ek, Greenway, and Foligno on the third line, it's like, I don't know what, we're in the state of hockey. I don't understand why fans don't understand this. Like, just because they're listed as the third line, like, Eriksson, Ek is the top line center every single night.
Say it again, you know, for the people in the back. Like, Eriksson, Ek is the top line center on this team.
Like, he's the hard matchup center. He plays the most ice time of any forward. That line the other night was the only, like, somebody, you know, was all over, like, why did Kaprizov only play 14 shifts the other night when he was on the top line? Like, technically, he's not. Eriksson Ek is the first line center. Like, he's going to get out there. Like, the whole point of it, like, the feeling of the perception of what a third line center is just different in today's day and age. The matchup center to me is the guy that gets the most ice time. He's out there the most. Right. And that line was great the other night with the fourth line.
Yeah.
I hate to hit label the fourth line. So what was the original question that got me on this?
Dean Evson going, I mean, but that's part of it, right? Like, yeah, he has tried different things. That's
I mean, you know, And you know, he's finally put Zuccarello and Rask back together. They're not going to play 25 minutes a night when they showed the last time there that they're going to turn pucks over all the time. You know, the issue with Zuccarello and Kaprizov is that at times they just play catch with each other. And so that's what they want to get out of, is the drop passes high at the offensive blue line. They're just looking for each other and turning pucks over. So they needed to get a little tweak. Now they're back together, and we'll see if they can get back to playing great even strength. But back to your original question, like, Dean just feels very, very comfortable in his own skin to me right now, where at the very beginning, he really did have the look of a interim coach. He didn't change lines really until they got to Edmonton, which is well into his tenure, if I remember. You know, he's just starting to really, make really a lot of the right decisions. I mean, even if you look at the power plays right now, I mean, I think a lot of us look at those units and be like, why the hell is Rask and Bonino on it? But you know what? They've got to win draws. And Bonino is the one guy, you know, I love Ek. I like Parisi. I like Greenway, but none of them would stand in front of the net. And Bonino just parks himself there. And the other night he gets the benefit of a fortuitous bounce, obviously. But I'm telling you, like while it makes little sense to some people like us, the guys in that locker room, the coaching staff, have a sense of what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, they're not just throwing darts at a board. Everything they do is for a reason. Anytime they change a line, it's probably for a matchup reason that they're seeing or something they're going to do that night. And so, you know, right now I like what he's doing. You know, back to his extension at the time, it made sense. Because while it was a 2-year extension, taking the label off, it really was a 1-year extension. He had 1 year left in his deal anyway. Right. And in today's COVID world that we're in right now, it certainly felt like at the time it was just like, all right, let's get through this. And then maybe in 2 years we hire the coach that we really want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for big money back when fans are in the building and things like that. Now I look back at my perception at the time of that, and it feels unfair. Or even if that really was what was going on in Bill Guerin's mind, it might change. Right. You know, I think Bill Guerin really has a lot of appreciation for what Dean's done so far as the coach of this team. In today's day and age, that could change very quickly with today's athlete. You know, it's usually a 3-year expiration date, but so far, you know, in a team that I think that if you look talent-wise is not as good as Colorado or Vegas, he's getting the most out of this team. He's getting great goaltending. They're defending for the most part well, a little tweak lately. Their even strength play has actually taken a turn for the worse, while their power play has taken a turn for the better.
I know. What the hell is up with that? Like,
it's
frustrating.
It's always the way it works. Like, they're one of the worst even strength teams in the league the last 10 years. 10 games.
Yeah.
And now they're the top power play in the league. And for the entire year, they were the best even strength team in the league and had the worst power play. It's like it always feels like once you fix something, something else just breaks.
It just doesn't work.
That's what we've seen right now. But, hey, look. The one thing with this division is that there are three or four bottom dwellers here. The Wild, for the most part, have taken advantage of those teams, especially Arizona, and it's put them in a position where, you know, if I'm telling you, if Vegas stays two or falls to three and the Wild stay two or three and they play each other, that is the best matchup for the Wild situation. They've just got to, in my opinion, avoid Colorado at all costs, at least in the first round.
Right. Well, and we had Elliot Friedman on our podcast last week, which I'm sure you completely listened to and checked out.
But, I always listen to Elliot and you guys.
we got to chirp you a little bit. We're like the one man that maybe knows more than Russo, and Elliot's like, uh-oh, Russo's not going to like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, he actually said it wouldn't be as surprising to him if Minnesota was to upset Colorado. He's like, I wouldn't even consider that an upset. He's like, I think that they could do it. He's like, if Arizona beats Colorado, that's an upset. I mean, do you feel the same way, having seen the matchups that Minnesota's played against Colorado, having seen Colorado, obviously, as much as I have? For me, it still seems too, like, and now that they have Devin Dubnyk, a very capable veteran to back up, right? I mean, it seems like they've just improved even a little bit more. Do you see the Minnesota Wild being able to get past Colorado?
I mean, yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, the big thing is they've got to play better in Colorado, where the Wild usually, historically, while I've covered the team, has played very well in Denver. But this year, it's been a totally different story. And we're talking just blowout after blowout. And so that's what's got to change.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Wild at home can beat anybody. They just seem to match up well with teams at home, especially this year. Probably because the fans haven't been all over their asses yelling at them to shoot on
a power little less shoot. Yeah.
Like that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not.
Actually.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, look, it doesn't, what we've seen this year, what they're 3-5 or 2-5, 2-6. Yeah. 2-6. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, regular season is different than the playoffs, but that team is going to be highly motivated to win a cup. I think the Stanley Cup, the path to it does go through Denver. There will be pressure on them, but that top line is just so good. And I feel like they, you know, Makar and Girard and Devontaeves are absolute game changers. So the key is Grubauer is highly exploitable. Can the Wild play in that zone?
Right.
In the two games that I covered there in Denver a couple weeks ago, by the way, I've covered 6 road games. The Wild have been outscored 30-7, and I'm on this next road trip. So,
so maybe right you need to stay home. Yeah. Maybe you're the problem.
But those
right?
two have games I covered that? Those two games, Jesse, I covered in Denver was as bad as I've ever seen this team play. I mean, it was 120 minutes of dominant hockey by the Avs.
Right.
And the Wild didn't spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, so that would have to change. Now playoffs are different. This team has a lot of playoff experience. The Wild. And if they're healthy, you know, I think they could beat anybody, but I would consider it an upset.
Yeah. I mean, I would too. Again, like you had just mentioned, they're on a completely different level. And I thought, but I thought Colorado was poised to spring out last year too. Yeah. And it kind of fanned out.
They're a much better team though this year, because it's not just the top line anymore with them. And I feel like Soderberg bringing him back was a good addition. And you know, again, their defense is just so much better. Like Makar is just unfreaking believable.
Girard,
if Makar wasn't there, Girard might be in the running for the Norris. He'll still be in the conversation, but he's just been outstanding. Now, conversely, Vegas, the Wild are 8-2-2 against them all time, 4-1-1 against them this year. Again, playoffs, different story. You know, a lot of that core went to the Stanley Cup final 3 years ago. You know, they have ton of talent up and down their lineup. But again, Fleury has shown at times he's either incredible or the Wild can beat him.
Right.
And the Wild seem to match up and is unintimidated by that team. So again, playoffs are different than regular season, but that's a team where I'd love, not just selfishly because I want to go to Vegas.
I was going
to
say, what's the real reason here? But
well,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm scared to walk the streets of Denver with Avs fans. They just aren't. Not fans of mine for some reason. I'm such a likable human being.
I mean, I don't think they're fans of anybody that covers the Wild either, it seems like. They'll kind of come at you for anything. Yeah. So.
Well, they're not exactly a sophisticated fan base.
just calling them out. Avs fans, don't listen to this turn. Press your mute button there.
Yeah. Luckily, I've blocked them all, so I don't think that they can get to me anymore.
You think so? Yeah. You know, I saw Gabriel Landeskog said Seinfeld is completely overrated, which I absolutely disagree. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so I had Avs fans coming at me for that, and I was like, well, but it's Seinfeld. It's so good. How could you say that?
So right away, you see what the problem is when the captain is saying something so outlandish, right? And then the Avs fans agree with that.
I know. It's foolish.
To me, that's everything you need to know.
You know, you had kind of mentioned Zach Parise, and obviously, as we've seen, his role's diminished a little bit, and his playing time's gotten a little bit less, which for any player is difficult, but for a guy like Zach, it seems to be particularly challenging. But do you think that he's now found himself a little, you never want to say comfortable, and I know Dane had asked this in today's avail, but do you think he's starting to accept that role as it needs to be a little bit more? Because it does seem like he's playing better the past couple games here.
Yeah, I mean, accept it, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, he's accepted it, but he hasn't accepted it.
Right.
That makes sense, right?
Right.
Depends what the definition of is. No, I mean, he's accepted it from the standpoint that Zach Parise is not just going to show up to the rink and not try and not work hard. He's making for the best of what he does. But, I mean, we talked to him today. He's trying to get them to play him more. Mm-hmm. I don't think he fully understands why he's not on the power play, but it's hard to argue there too, because their power play has been on fire since he's been taken off of it, which coincidence or not, that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 12 for 24. So it's some crazy.
It's good. It's the top in the league for the month so far.
Yeah, exactly. But look, this is just what it's become. You know, if you look at the analytics, he's not having a good year. It's what coincidence or not, when he's on the ice, they don't drive a lot of offense. And now he's in a position where he's on a team that's in a transition. I mean, you have Greenway and Foligno that just work with Ek. You have Zuccarello and Kaprizov who have incredible chemistry. And you have Johansson and Fiala who have shown to have incredible chemistry. So where do you put Zach? You put him on the fourth line. He's got to embrace that role and just play as hard as he is. And the other thing that I think that I'm sure he would be offended by, but I put in my story the other day, is that when you're on the fourth line, you're playing mostly third defense pairs or fourth lines of the other team. So the matchups are a lot easier for him. So it really at this age, at this stage in his career, you're going to play in the offensive zone a heck of a lot more. Especially when you have play with possession drivers like Nico Sturm, you know, Bonino, who's a good player as well. And right now he's got 2 goals, 2 assists his last 4 games. He's drawn 3 penalties. He's playing really well. So while I'm sure he is not happy,
right?
This is a proud, competitive hockey player. You know, what I wrote in my column the other day is that the 36 and 37-year-olds that realize that they're going to have to embrace a new role are the ones that succeed and play until they're 42, 43, the Joe Thorntons of the world, the Patrick Marleaus, the people like that. Mm-hmm. The players that leave, that don't do it, they fizzle off in the sunset and they leave the game angry and bitter. And Zach doesn't want to be one of those guys. So I just think that, you know, it's been good to see that he's shown up every single night and worked his butt off. And hopefully he gets in a position where he can get more ice time. But I like the way he's playing right now. He looks the best that he's looked all year long. And this is just, I mean, it's a tough situation. There are younger, faster guys in front of him now. He's hit that part of his career where he's just going to have to accept this type of situation.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's what, you know, I actually just wrote an article for Minnesota Hockey about that, how like David Backes is another instance. He's a guy that was the superstar, right? And was amazing. Mm-hmm. And he's had to accept different roles. He's gone down to the AHL for crying out loud. I mean, it's certainly, it's just time moves on, especially in today's game, as it's just gotten younger and faster and quicker. I mean, you have to be able to keep up. And I love the turning of the tides, if you will, Mike, that the Wild have taken now, because they are finally getting a little bit younger and they are not as old of a team. I mean, do you think that's obviously contributed to the success? I know it's an obvious answer, yes, but I mean, how have you seen the younger players really step up and, you know, say, hey, the future of the Wild organization looks pretty good right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, Kaprizov has come here and there's really been very little transition and he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Fiala, you know, for the most part this year, you know, I think he had a slow start and he was sort of a lost soldier, right? They just couldn't find him a line mate in a large part because of the chemistry that Zuccarello and Kaprizov generated and Johansson's injury. So Fiala was just playing with, you know, everybody, and I think it affected him. But he's starting to play much, much better. Nico Stearns had a really good rookie year. Erickson Ek had just an outstanding season. Their blue line's pretty much the same, only they added Ian Cole. Susie, for the most part, has given them good minutes. And so it's only going to get better, though, as like Boldy and Rossi and these guys get here, maybe Beckman, Hovanov. They really are a lot of players in this organization that I think have not just the ability to be impact players, but you know, just tremendous hockey players. I mean, Boldy and Rossi are good hockey players, mm-hmm. and they're going to get here at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think they're pinning a lot on Marco Rossi, for instance, especially up the middle, and the desperate, desperate need that they have for centers? I mean, are they kind of hoping that he is everything and more like Kaprizov was? I mean, I think Kaprizov was even more than was to be expected. Do you think that they're kind of putting all those hopes on Marco to see what's there before really going out and shopping around?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, I think things have changed, obviously, with his health situation. I mean, the biggest difference between Kaprizov and Rossi, even if Rossi was completely healthy this year, as Kaprizov is turning 24 next week, mm-hmm. and has played professional hockey. This is his seventh season of professional hockey, Jesse. It's crazy.
Yeah,
played right. 6 years in the KHL and now this. So
is he a contender for the Calder, or is he not technically considered a rookie? Because
he's 100% up for the Calder. But you know, Rossi is going to be now coming here without being on the ice for more than a year come fall, and so. Mm-hmm. Wild fans are going to 100%, and the Wild are going to have to be patient with him and not expect that he at age 20 and being off the ice for a year and a half is going to be, come in and set the world on fire. He'll have to start in the AHL next year. That's just an absolute fact, I think.
Right.
And in terms of the Calder, though, I don't think it's a guarantee that Kaprizov's just won it, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Jason Robertson.
Robertson's coming out of nowhere. Like, what the hell?
Well, he's 21. He's a heck of a hockey player. He has only played 1 year of professional hockey. He's just on fire. Like, he was scratched a couple times earlier this season, got off to a bit of a slow start. Now he's on fire. And, you know, we might, if you just glance at the stats, you think that Kaprizov's running away with the scoring race. But you got to look at the games played, because mm-hmm. Dallas, remember, had the COVID outbreak start the year and got off to a delayed start. And so he's played a lot fewer games, four or five fewer games now than Kaprizov. So, It's a two-man race, in my opinion.
I mean, how much is that going to stab into Wild fans' hearts that it's a Dallas Stars player, of all things, that could come in and take what was supposed to be theirs? I mean, and what do you think has changed a little bit in Kirill? It's not that he's doing poorly by any means. It seems like people assume if he's not on the score sheet, he's underperforming. But it certainly has sometimes his game has played, it gets quiet, right? I know you and I have witnessed that. What do you think that's all about, and how does he change that to, again, become more consistent, which, as we had mentioned earlier, we don't see from any of the players, so it's hard to expect that of just him, but certainly he's very capable of that.
Yeah, I just think that he's bottled up a lot. I mean, if you're gonna pre-scout the Wild and you're the opponent, you know who to check, and especially if you have Zuccarello, who is running hot as well for a long time, and Kaprizov on the same line, you're gonna throw your top defenders and best checkers out against him, and you're gonna shadow him. And you see that on the bumper position now on the power play. He had a goal against Colorado on the last homestand where they gave him a little too much room, and he scored a couple goals that night, but one from the bumper position on the power play goal. And then we went to St. Louis and they just swallowed him up. I mean, they just surrounded him. Right. And so I think it's mostly that. I don't think he looks tired to me. I just think that, you know, every night to expect him to just dominate, especially in his first year, it's just not going to happen. But he is one heck of a player. He'll learn how to function in those situations. It's something that he should be proud of, that other teams in his first year look at him as the guy to stop on the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, absolutely. Final question before we let you go, Mr. Russo. How are the Wild going to do in the playoffs? Are they a true contender this year? And if not, how far off before we can say the Minnesota Wild could win the Stanley Cup?
Well, if they get goaltending, they're absolutely a true contender. And if they're healthy, I do think that this team is as deep, four lines wise, this team could compete against you. I mean, we've seen them roll four lines. Their third and fourth lines, I look at them as being better than Colorado and Vegas. But they're not as top heavy as those teams by any stretch. So I do think they're a contender. I think they're going to get by the first round if they don't play Colorado. And then what you do is you hope that whoever plays Colorado in the first round, which is whether it's the Blues, the Coyotes, probably the Blues, maybe the Sharks too. I mean, this is a big weekend for the Sharks. You know, then they, you know, you hope that they sort of beat the crap out of Colorado, fatigue them a bit, make it a long series, and then you take your chances. But
I'll just take them out, right? Yeah. That could happen. They could just take them out in the first round.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, the one thing I'll say is that, like, we look at this season, and it's hard to really know where everybody steps, you know, matches up with each other, because it almost feels like we're in four different National Hockey Leagues. Like, I barely watch the other leagues because it just doesn't sort of affect us because of the in-division thing. So it's hard to know if they're a true contender, if you know, when it comes to other teams. I mean, I will say this, they usually match up against the Lightning really well too, you know, especially down in Tampa. So, you know, there's a, you know, I have a belief that this team's on the right track. I don't think there's any doubt about that, Jesse.
Right. Well, Russo, thank you so much for joining us, talking a little hockey. Let people know where they can find you. I'm sure everyone's following you already, but push out whatever you want to push out.
Russo Hockey is on Twitter, and theathletic.com/straightfromthesource will get you in for $3.99 a month, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to talk to Dan about? That's going to be an exciting interview.
Probably The Bachelor, dumping beers on his head, exactly. That type of stuff. Yeah. You know, just the non-hockey things.
Ask him if he grew up as a young little Hawaiian kid just aspiring to be a hockey writer in Minnesota and how that happened.
I know, right? It's the best. It's
and
the
how
best.
He wound up, like, you have this, the jack of all trades for the Pioneer Press. He covers everything, right? I mean, there's nothing. He's a Vikings columnist. He'll do Twins, basketball, and everything.
High school sports. He's covering a high school hockey game while he's covering the Wild.
He's a hoops guy, and yet somehow he's like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to start a golf podcast. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, again, as if you've seen, it's not going well for him. He keeps losing all these bets. So it's something that maybe he should give up, but he's persisting. I like it.
No, I give him credit. You could tell because Jesse sits next to Dan and I in the press box each night, but Dan and I always have dollar bets, and we'll just in the middle of the season, and we'll just like yell over at each other, will they tie it or score? And I'll be like, dollar they tie it, you know, like something like that.
You gotta keep it interesting up there.
The one I lost was the I think one of those Colorado game where the Wild pulled out. Yes, are the Avs gonna tie the game? Remember they made it 4-3.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And he's like, are the Avs gonna tie it? And I look at him, I'm like 100%. I lost a buck that night. So.
That's all right. It happens. Yeah. Well, again, Michael Russo, thank you so much for joining us. You're the best. I'll see you at the rink tonight.
Yep, see ya. Take care.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Thank you again to Mr. Michael Russo for coming on, spitting the hockey game talk with us. Dane, what do you think about sitting next to Russo? We talked about your betting too as well up in the press box. Speaking of continued betting, again, betteredge.com. Are you up on that, those bets anyway, with Russo for the dollar in the games?
I think he's a dollar or two up. I basically just make bets to lose bets, and I'm like down to do that. Like, if you want to bet with me, and like there's a good chance I'm going to say yes, even if like I'm at a disadvantage in that bet. Like, I want action on that. So like,
you're saying you have a problem. Is there a gambling problem that we need to address here?
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's fun with Russo. He's fun to sit next to. Those bets are like a good way to like keep boring games interesting. Like, not every game's fun. So if we're like, hey, do you think they're going to tie it here? Like, dollar bet. Like,
we have to have some entertainment because, yes, while the game can be entertaining when you're working, it is not the same of enjoyment as it is. No. Like, we're actually looking for things. It's kind of, frankly, very boring. So I certainly cheer for any bets. I know they did the 4,000th goal. Who would score the 4,000th goal for the Minnesota Wild? We got to pick random names. I got Matt Zuccarello, and he did it. And I've never actually cheered in the press box for a player except Matt Zuccarello because he won me some money. So thank you.
That was so fun when it was going on because it was like every time the person that you had in your name or like you had it when Zuccarello.
That's all I cared about. I didn't want anybody else to score.
I had Greenway, and I was like, what are you doing? Why are you shifting off? And Bruce was like, he's been playing for like he's it's like been over a minute. And I was like, yeah, extend that shit. Like, who cares? Yeah.
Stay out there. Oh, too fun. That's a little peek in the press box, guys, for you. Our final segment, Dane, I'm going to introduce you to Up for Debate, which is a topic that Alexis and I typically debate on based on some of the social media comments as well. This week's up for debate, we wanted to know, who is the Minnesota Wild's MVP that is not named Kirill Kaprizov at this juncture in the season? The three selected players were either Cam Talbot, Kevin Fiala, or Jared Spurgeon. Who do you think is the MVP?
Well, if you're giving me first pick, I gotta go with Cam Talbot, because I was ready to argue Jared Spurgeon in my head, because like I could probably make a pretty compelling argument for that. But yeah. Cam Talbot at this point in the season, like, I don't know how he's not. Like, sure. Especially because he's come back, and like he wasn't great early on, but he was dealing with injuries. And at first it was like fluky bounces, then it was an injury, then it was COVID. And now like where he's at, he's just proving to be like a legitimate number one option between the pipes, which when Billy signed him, Bill Guerin, not Billy.
Billy.
When Billy signed him in the offseason, like I don't necessarily say I disagreed with him, but he was like adamant that Cam Talbot is going to be
number one. He's the number one.
Yeah. We're not splitting. It's his job. And I was like, but like, no, he's been phenomenal for the last month. And I don't think there's any other choice. Like, go ahead. Who do you pick? But I'll rebuttal and I'll debate you to Cam Talbot to the death.
I mean, because I always go different. We can't have the same. That's freaking right. Boring. Kevin Fiala, maybe, just to keep it interesting. I love Jared Spurgeon and I love everything. And he's usually a quiet defenseman, right? It's just mm-hmm. This year, he seems even a little bit more unnoticeable. And maybe it's because the offense has finally taken over a little bit for the Minnesota Wild. And Kevin Fiala has finally found his groove. It seems like he's matured quite a bit too. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, there might have been like a little bit of jealousy almost of Kirill and, you know, picking up, because Fiala ended last year with such high accolades and everybody on the Minnesota Wild was so excited about him coming mm-hmm. back and being this top scorer. And I think he struggled with that a little bit because as it's been well documented that he does kind of deal, you know, with his anxieties and mental pressures that he puts on himself. So I'm going to go Kevin Fiala because I love having a Kevin Fiala and a Kirill Kaprizov on the team, because that's just kind of a fun scoring tandem. Do you completely disagree with that? What was your argument for Spurge?
That he does all the little things and that his offense is eventually going to catch up, but he like the way he breaks up two on one odd man rushes mm-hmm. is like, he doesn't show up in the box score, but like it seems like the way he, you know, Dean Evason always likes to talk about stick on puck, and like it's cliche, but Spurgeon is so good at it. And
is Dean Evason talking cliches ever?
It's like almost like the way he speaks, but it works. I mean, whatever, like they're riding, they're gonna push for second in the West, so
yeah
it's I could make an argument for Spurge just because he's done so much on the defensive side of the puck, and his offense is gonna catch up. I think he's got like 16 points or something, only four
it's
goals.
Coming together, like this second half it seems to be coming together for sure. And you're right, and again, that's what I kind of prefaced it with, because I'm not, you know, Spurge is still Spurge. He's still the player, like a Jonas Brodin. I mean, those guys are all solid in the back, but I like scoring. Give me some goddamn offense on this team, please, for the love of God.
That's fair. It's a good segment because, like, well, obviously it's Kaprizov, right? But
we can't pick Kaprizov. I would also argue for Joel Eriksson Ek too. I think the way that he's stepped up his game and really put himself as a top line centerman on this team and developed into the player that I think he was projected to be finally. I would argue that he could earn at least a starting nod or look from me as well. Sure. Any other players that you think could be also should also have been included?
I think I talked a little bit about it, but like if I'm going to pick Cam Talbot as like their MVP or their Hart Trophy, whatever we're calling it, that's not Kaprizov, then I have to give some props to Kaapo Kähkönen. And I think like I could also make a compelling argument for Kähkönen, because like I said, those 9 straight wins earlier this season when the Wild didn't appear to have a lot of direction in the crease, like I think Andrew Hammond was their backup at one mm-hmm. point just because of COVID. Like, you look at where the Wild are at in the standings right now, if you take 18 points away, like, and look, they're not going to lose all 9 of those games. Like, even if Hammond starts, they probably win 2-3 of the 4 of those games. But
right.
If you take 10 points away, you take 12 points away, the, you know, the 18 points that Kähkönen was able to nab, like, the standings look a lot different now. So it's not, like, I know I listened to your podcast with Friedman, and he's like, definitely recency bias, like, it plays a role in these awards. But like, if we're looking at the body of work, I know Capo's been bad lately, but if he doesn't have that strong stretch earlier in the season, the Wild are maybe scrapping for a playoff spot right now instead of comfortably in, you know, above the cut line. So.
Right. Nope, that's fair. I think that's completely fair. You know, again, we talked about that, I know, at the beginning, but I wouldn't even say Capo's been playing poorly. I mean, the 9-1 St. Louis loss is a complete asterisk almost in comparison. And you're right, he played when they needed him to. He stepped up. So that could also be an MVP. I would tip my hat to that, Dane. I don't hate that. That's not not too shabby at all. So that is our up for debate. That's our final segment. Dane, you're the best. You're an official Butte now, because look at you doing segments one and three. Proud of you.
Just stepping up for Alexis.
Just step. I mean, maybe replacement Alexis. Who knows? We'll have to replace her. That's true. As much as you are a Beaut, but no, thank you so much for joining us and hopping on and filling in for her shoes, her high heel shoes, I'm sure too. So good luck with that. But thanks to Mike Russo for being our guest this week. A shout out to SodaStick.com for being our presenting sponsor. Better Edge, again, toss down Buttes for free $10 on your betting. That's BETTOREdge.com. Plus Tony Hoagland of State Farm Insurance. Also shout out to Talk North for featuring us on their lovely network. Fred, keep it up what you're doing. Alexis, enjoy Duluth. I'm not even chirping them. And that's all we got. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.